He parked in some reeds and pointed across the road. There, that's the one. Looks like it's propped up out of the weeds. My misspent youth's humble abode. Out along the dim 6 o'clock street, I saw leafless trees standing, striking the sidewalk there like wooden lightning, concrete split apart where they hit, all in a fenced-in ring. An iron line of pickets stuck out of the ground along the front of a tangleweed yard, and on back was a big frame house with a porch, leaning a rickety shoulder hard into the wind so as not to be sent tumbling away a couple of blocks like an empty cardboard grocery box. The wind was blowing a few drops of rain, and I saw the house had its eyes clenched shut and locks at the door banged on a chain. And on the porch, hanging, was one of those things the Japs make out of glass and hang on strings, rings and clangs in the least little blow, with only 4 pieces of glass left to go. These 4 swung and whipped and wrung little chips off on the wooden porch floor. McMurphy put the car back in gear. Once I've been here, since way the hell gone back in the year we were all getting home from that Korea mess, for a visit. My old man and old lady were still alive. It was a good home. He let out the clutch and started to drive, then stopped instead. My God, he said, look over there. See a dress? He pointed out back. In the branch of that tree? A rag, yellow and black? I was able to see a thing like a flag flapping high in the branches over a shed. The first girl ever drugged me to bed wore that very same dress. I was about 10 and she was probably less, and at the time a lay seemed like such a big deal, I asked her if didn't she think, feel, we ought to announce it some way. Like, say, tell our folks, Mom, Judy and me got engaged today. And I meant what I said, I was that big a fool. I thought if you made it, man, you were legally wed right there on the spot, whether it was something you wanted or not, and that there wasn't any break in the rule. But this little whore, at the most 8 or 9, reached down and got her dress off the floor and said it was mine. Said, you can hang this up someplace. I'll go home in my drawers and announce it that way. They'll get the idea. Jesus, 9 years old, he said, reached over and pinched Candy's nose. I knew a lot more than a good many pros. She bit his hand, laughing, and he studied the mark. So anyhow, after she went home in her pants, I waited till dark when I had the chance to throw that damn dress out in the night. But you feel that wind? Caught the dress like a kite and whipped it around the house out of sight, and the next morning, by God, it was hung up in that tree for the whole town, was how I figured then to turn out and see. He sucked his hand, so woebegone that Candy laughed and gave it a kiss. So my colors were flown, and from that day to this, it seemed I might as well live up to my name. Dedicated lover, and it's the God's truth. That little 9-year-old kid out of my youth's the one who's to blame. The house drifted past. He yawned and winked. Taught me to love, bless her sweet ass. Then, as he was talking, a set of taillights going past lit up McMurphy's face, and the windshield reflected an expression that was allowed only because he figured it'd be too dark for anybody in the car to see. Dreadfully tired and strained and frantic, like there wasn't enough time left for something he had to do. While his relaxed, good-natured voice doled out his life for us to live, a rollicking past full of kid fun and drinking buddies and loving women and barroom battles over meager honors, for all of us to dream ourselves into.